Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Indeed, it's at the time when everyone changes their attitudes, their direction, from the point of Thanksgiving on to January 2nd. Come January 2nd, everybody reverts back to what they previously were doing prior to the previous Thanksgiving. Now, it says, and the scripture says, peace to the earth and goodwill toward men. And this has been the desire since the Christ child was born, since he grew up, since he died on the cross. It was that men would have peace among themselves. Now I want to ask you, how many of us have peace? Are you peaceful with yourselves? Are you peaceful with each other? Are you peaceful in your homes? Are you peaceful with your coworkers? Are you peaceful with your peers at school? And if the answer in any direction of that is no, then you're not at peace. You don't have that perfect peace that the Lord wants you to have. Now, the thing that Jesus came to do when our Heavenly Father caused the Son to be born was to extend to mankind forgiveness. Forgiveness. Have you ever wanted to be forgiven? Oh, I see just one. You know, out of this whole audience, I just see one head shaking yes. You know, I wanted to be forgiven many times. Many times. There's another one. Two. Three. Forgiveness, a very, very important ingredient of the scriptures in conjunction with the church of the restoration, with all churches. Forgiveness is something that is outstanding. It is necessary. It is necessary to forgive your companion when they err against you in any way, shape, or form. It's important to forgive somebody that has done you wrong in any shape or form. And you know, when we come to the scriptures and we go back into Romans 3:23, which is probably pretty well familiar with everybody, which says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You believe that? How many believe that? How many believe that you have come short? Sure. Sure. Now you're being honest with yourself. With yourself. You don't have to be honest with me, but you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, we establish that we all agree that all have come short of the glory, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if we turn over to Mark 3, if you care to follow along, Mark 3, and I'll give you enough time to turn to it, or I'll say it often enough so you can catch it. Mark 3, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 22. Verse 22 of Mark 3. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out devils. And he calleth unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Now, let's just stop right there. Now, that kingdom cannot stand if it's divided within itself. Now, how many of us, and we probably all have experienced it, have had a happy home after an argument or a disagreement? That home becomes divided. And when it becomes divided, there's a greater portion of peace there, correct? You're not sure? No. There's not a greater portion of peace there. There's less. It becomes divided, separated. So what needs to happen there? Forgiveness. So all can be forgiven. And I'm a believer that once a particular subject that has to be forgiven, you cannot any longer, down the road somewhere, 20 years, 5 years, 2 weeks down the road, you can't bring that up and say, well, you did such and such. That's gone. It's forgiven. You may not forgive, but it's forgiven. It's gone. Just like that. All right, now, in verse 26, and if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, now this is Jesus speaking, all sin, now get that and place it in your mind and heart, all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemes wherewith soever they shall be blaspheme. But he that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of everlasting, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, we have established a system that the Lord has placed, that what sin is unforgivable. Do we all agree that the only sin, period, is the sin against the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? Do we agree? I hear no objections. Okay. Now, let's go over to Book of Mormon, 445. For page 445 in the Book of Mormon, Alma to Corianton, chapter 19. Page 445. I'm going to just read one verse in conjunction with what I just read from Mark 3. And it goes like this in verse 8. Behold, if ye deny the Holy Ghost, when it once has had place in you, and ye know that ye deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable. Verse 9, yea, and whosoever murdereth against the light, that same light, and for and knowledge of God, and it is not easy for him to obtain forgiveness. Yea, I say unto you, my son, that it is not easy for him to obtain forgiveness. Now, once the Holy Spirit, and in the restoration, when you are baptized, what takes place after your baptism? The reception of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. Now, you've got to believe, because the Scripture says, and we can go into Acts to prove it, but I don't have time to do that right now because I want to get this certain message out, that when hands are laid upon you by those that have authority, you're a recipient of the Holy Spirit. Ironically, and this goes into a whole other sermon, we don't understand that movement. We don't understand the movement of the Holy Spirit, what it's going to do. We are told in John 14 that it's going to teach us, that it's going to remind us. That'll bring things to our remembrance. But it's also a teacher. It's also a teacher. And one of the greatest teachers that man has, and that we cannot convey to our children, is what?
Experience.
Our experience we cannot relate to our younger generation. Our younger generation wants to experience what they want to experience themselves, and we try to warn them. We try to tell them. You know, it's an old saying that once a person, young man, young woman, reaches the age of 21, mom and dad are become awful smart. All of a sudden, overnight. And our young people today are in a hurry to get out of school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens when you get out of school? You're in debt. You get your graduation, you get your graduate, your diploma, and you turn it over and you're in debt. Automatically, you're in debt. Now you've got to pay those things. Then you wander along down the course of the road when you want to start to drive and so forth and so on. And, oh yeah, you want a car. We all did. We were all in that same boat when we were that young. But now, there's insurance to pay, there's gas to pay, and so forth and so on. That's got to come from somewhere. Well, that comes from work. Okay. Now, we find here that when once it is in verse 8, on page 445 in the Book of Mormon, had placed in you, and you know absolutely that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, that has worked with you, and that you cannot deny that. I'll have to admit that I've had many experiences. Many experiences. Therein I could not deny that. Simply by laying on hands on the sick and afflicted. So therefore, regardless of what you might do, you cannot deny that Holy Spirit. Now, let's go over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Jesus is speaking. Now remember, I'm not up here to quoting a book that I wrote. I didn't write it. I was asked to relate it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm relating it to you. It's for you to pick up on. It's for you to carry the ball and do something with it. Chapter 18 of Matthew, verse 15, Jesus speaking, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Well, in order to hear your brother, or in order for you to be able to go to someone else and, you know, kind of straighten something out that's kind of a mess, what does the other person and perhaps yourself have to be? You have to be what they call in the scriptures easily entreated. In other words, you have to be receptive. You have to weigh what that person is saying. You have to think about what that person is saying. And in all instances, the comeback or the rebuttal should be in kindness. Verse 16 in Matthew 18, verse 16, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Okay, so now we have a law. We have something to go by that we can entertain, and we can say, well, now look, now if you've got a problem here, we're going to try to take it to the say to the elders, and we're going to try to straighten it out, whatever problem might be within the family, etc. And we'll straighten it out. But if we cannot, now if you're a member or if you belong to Christ, then it says to take it to the church, or the whole body of the church, and then let's see what we can do with the total matter. Now, verse 18, very, 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 very important. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, if I stop right there, if I go no further with that particular scripture, and I just half-heartedly let's say, quote that scripture, then I say, okay, now you, you, and you, and you, that's it for you. That's it. No, no, I have passed judgment. I have said, no, you cannot go beyond this point. That's it. Now, if we stop, now note what I said. This verse is very, very important. If I stop in the middle of that, whatsoever, I'm going to read that again, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Period. Mm. Oh. Oh boy. She's not going to get away with this, or he's not going to get away with that. And whatsoever, now look at this. Look at what other, what, something else that Jesus said along with a positive, with a negative, and here is the positive. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I can weigh up the evidence. Now, hey, well, now, okay, I can see this. But on one hand, if I hammer down, but on the other hand, I can say, well, no, I can say, okay, what do you want me to say to you? I forgive you. I forgive you. That's the other half of that verse 18. It gives two authorities there. One to hold it, but he goes on to say, but, however, whatsoever you lose, whatever. That's the way it is. Again, in verse 19, and again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How many believe that? How many believe that? How many believe that Jesus Christ, the Spirit, the power, the authority, is here? Okay. Very important. Okay, let's go over to Luke 17. And this is a continuation of what we just read. Jesus yet is speaking. He says in verse 3, chapter 17 of Luke, Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. Look. Pay attention. Wake up. Open your heart. Open your mind. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, rebuke him anyway. Is that what it says? No, that isn't what it says. Let me read to you what it does say. What Jesus is saying to you. What Jesus is saying to everyone that will open their ears and listen to what he is saying. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. That's fine. That's fine. Your children, when they trespass against you in disobeying you by not taking out the trash or not taking out the trash, for want of another word, then you rebuke them. You get after them. And you know, our children should have a job when they come home. They should have certain jobs, and mom and dad shouldn't have to tell them to do that job. Shouldn't have to tell them. And it says, if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee, now look at here, looky, 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 against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Yet Jesus didn't say you may forgive him, or you might forgive him, or that you might hold a grudge, or that you might hold any whatever over that individual, but he said, ye shall forgive him. How many times? You're not sure. Seven. Jesus says seven here. Seven times in a day. Okay. Seven times in a day. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And we're going to begin with the, let's begin with the 30th verse. And Matthew 26, verse 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter, verse 33, answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now here, Peter was very strongly opinionated. He knew that he would not offend Jesus, even when Jesus said to all the total group that all of you will be offended this night because of me. What Peter didn't do, he didn't believe the Christ. He didn't believe Jesus when he said all. Peter was the exception. He thought he was the exception. He thought he was the exception. Very strongly opinionated. Well, let's see what Jesus answered, how Jesus answered him. Jesus said unto him, unto Peter, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, or three times. Now, Jesus was speaking the truth. Jesus has always spoken the truth. Everything that I've said thus far is from the words of Jesus Christ. Now, but Peter as men, let me say that again. Peter as men knew better. He knew better. For he said in verse 35, Peter said unto him, talking to Jesus, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Very good. If you can be that staunch. This next question popped up into my mind prior to coming here. Now, if Jesus were to walk up this aisle in the flesh and stood right here, what would you say to him? What would be the first thing you would say to him? Hi? Want to take you to the ballpark? Let's go to the football game. What would you say? what would you want him to do for you? Would you feel guilty? If you felt guilty, what would you do? What would you ask for? Forgiveness. Exactly. Forgive me, my Lord, my God. Isn't it strange that we can ask forgiveness of our Lord that has created all these things? Given us all these, the magnificence of this country, of this world. And yet each and every one of us here probably would claim, oh yes, he's also given us the fullness of the gospel. What if we, and yet we cannot forgive one another? You see how Peter, how I try to bring in Peter as being such a, oh boy, I'm strong. Not me. Man's intuition, man's desire, man's will superseded. Try to supersede Christ when he said, look, Peter, now wait a minute. Now don't argue with me, buddy. You're going to deny me. Peter said, oh no, I'm not. Oh yes, you are. Well, let's see if he did or not. Verse 69, same chapter of Matthew 26. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with this Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him, they stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crowed, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now Peter didn't take Jesus' word verbatim, and he denied it. But what happened? Jesus proved that what he said was true. And what was Peter's recourse? He went out and wept. Is that what a lot of us are going to do, is weep? Romans 12. Oh, before I go into Romans 12, this jar represents sin in the beginning, the very beginning. This here one here. This one represents the purity of God. Purity. And it also represents forgiveness. Now, this one, because of this forgiveness, superseded this one. And the Lord forgave. There's a trick to this. Oh, I'll tell you what the trick is, in part. It's between this one, and this one, and this one. Okay, Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not just a few, but to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we've got to watch how we think about ourselves in accordance to, in our relationships to other people. Now, if Jesus were here, he'd mingle among us. There'd be no problem. He'd be like one of us. With the one exception. What is that one exception? Sin free. Sin free. He was sin free. Okay, I'm going to go back to Luke 6. Another very important verse, which sometimes we ignore in our workplace, in our school place, our home place, and wherever, whatever other place we might be, especially when we're dealing with others, when we're dealing with other human beings. And yes, it may be so that the way this world is going, it's not the same world that I knew 30 years ago, maybe not even 5 years ago. It's rapidly changing. It's rapidly changing. Okay, verse 31, Luke 6, verse 31. Jesus again is speaking. I'm quoting Jesus. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them maybe. Well, let me reread that. Do ye also to them if you want to. No, that didn't go over either. Let's see if this works. Do ye also to them likewise. Rereading. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now remember, our theme is forgiveness. You want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. You don't want to be forgiven, just don't forgive. We're going to come and prove something else by Jesus Christ about not forgiving. What happens when you don't forgive? The responsibility, brothers and sisters, of a Christian, I mean a follower of Jesus Christ, to the best of your ability. Your responsibility, or one of the responsibilities, I'll put it that way, is to forgive one another. Not with any, no, what? No conditions. Forgiveness is under... Forgiveness, nowhere can you find it in the Bible that I'm aware of myself, nor in the Book of Mormon, that when you forgive, it's conditional. Let's see, another here. Okay, well, I want to go over to verse 35 in the same chapter of Luke 6, 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye there, good verse, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. If you don't want mercy, don't give mercy. But if you give mercy, you can expect mercy. A discussion sometimes, at least I get into it, but I'm liable to get into anything. But anyway, now judging and having an opinion is two different things. You can have an opinion about something, but when you judge, you're putting place in somebody right there in a particular spot. Now, it says, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Jesus speaking. Now, we can be like Peter and we can say, well, no, I can't do that or I won't do that. Give and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom for with the same measure. For the same measure that ye met, with it shall be measured to you again. It's kind of like a round robin, not a round robin, but a circle. What's that old saying about a circle? What goes around comes around, right? What goes around comes around. Okay, that's it. All right. Now, Romans 5. I'm glad you said I got a couple hours. Romans 5. Remember what I said this was? Sin. This was sin before Christ, you know. Prior, and even perhaps maybe during the time they gave animal sacrifices. Then there came a time when Jesus, our Lord and Master, said, that's it, no more sacrifices. I'm going to send my Son. He did that. Now, prior, because we were sinners, and we all agreed in the beginning that we all fell short, now because of that, what did Jesus do for us in the very beginning? Okay, in chapter 5 of Romans, he didn't require anything of you. There was no condition other than that we repent, which is a natural state of events. For when we were yet, in verse 6 in chapter 5 of Romans, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He made the way. That's all we had to do is choose the way that he instructed that it would be done. Okay. Now in Colossians, Corinthians 13. I'm just going to read this is a very, very popular chapter in First Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to only read a few verses for the brevity of time. Going to start with verse 1. Though I speak, I'm in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Bang, bang. The sound just goes away. Nothing. There's no stability. Gone. All right. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So charity goes along with forgiveness. You got to be charitable and you forgive. Verse 5, doth not behave and seem in itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. If we don't have charity. Charity. John 8. John 8. Okay, in chapter Saint John chapter 8. Excuse me. I'm going to begin with verse 4, very, very well-known passage of scriptures. It has to do with charity. Verse 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. First time you ever heard that, right? He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go. What else did he say? And sin no more. I forgive you. The law that they were quoting was right, but Jesus said, hey, look, it's going to be different now, fellas. We're not going to be stoning this woman. And if any of you are not guilty, then go ahead and cast the first stone. Okay, standing in the midst. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus himself saw no one, he said, but the woman. Now, the woman is standing alone. All these people are gone. All these accusers are gone. Now, just for a moment, let's pretend that you're that individual. Now, what would you have done? All the accusers are gone. Jesus is writing in the ground. He all of a sudden looks up and says, well, where are all these people? What would you have done if you were hurt? Have you ever thought about that? Would you have taken off like a jackrabbit? How about today? Would you take off? But that woman stood there. That woman stood there. And she heard what Jesus said. And what was it that he did for her? He forgave her. But he also added, sin no more. Okay, in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, it says in verse 31, Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We are to be no different. Where forgiveness is asked for, forgiveness should be given. Now, this is representative of sin that people have, many multitudes of different things of this nature. And this is also represents the offenses that man gives to man. Okay, being man is in control now. Man forgives. This is representative of forgiveness, just like this one, just like this one. But what's the difference? Now, that's right side up. If I go like that, will that make any difference? Now, remember, now this is forgiveness. But how much forgiveness? And, right, man retains. Man, this is conditional. That's conditional. That is total. I've got to read several more passages of Scripture, and then I'm through. I would like to go into 284 in the Book of Mormon. 284. Okay, 284. All right, I just wanted to establish that in verse 134, and then on page 284, verse 134, and then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, and I am their Redeemer, but that they would not be redeemed. Dropping down, to verse 137. Therefore I say unto you, go, and whosoever transgresses against me shall ye judge according to the sins which he has committed. And if he confess his sins before thee and me, and repenteth in sincerity of his heart, him shall ye forgive, and I will forgive him also. Yea, and note this. Yea, and as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. Unconditional, brothers and sisters. Ask for repentance. There should be no qualms about saying, I forgive you. Period. Now, in the last passage of Scripture, let's turn to Luke 23 and verse 34. The last thing your Savior spoke to the public was this. Verse 34, Luke 23. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you very much for your kind attention.